WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. 10 o'clock hour. No Bulldog Brunch today. So we have another hour of Money Matters. I love this. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Not that I don't love the Bulldogs. I like the Bulldogs. I mean, it's not my hometown. I grew up in the Northeast. Went to school in North Carolina. But it's pretty hard not to love the Bulldog Nation. And I live in the center of it. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now we're warmed up and we've taken lots of calls today. We also have this wonderful archived treasure that I found this week about Warren Buffett back in 1999. And if you missed the first hour, I'm going to touch on it again in the second hour. His answer to a college student that says, she's in the front row, Mr. Buffett, what do you suggest for people who choose to go into a career that's not going to pay that much? Interestingly, she said, a career like medicine. Or music or performing arts. Amazing that she lumped in medicine with a career that doesn't pay that much. I know doctors don't get paid what they used to get paid, but come on. Doctors still do very, very well. It's not like the performing arts, for goodness sakes. How do you advise us to keep up financially with the rest of the world? What does Warren Buffett say to that? We'll talk about that. And there's a lot to talk about today. Social Security conversation. When you take that, how do we change the way we feel about aging? I want to get to all that this hour and your calls and your questions. So we've got a lot of wood to chop. There's a lot of red meat in the freezer. So let's get started here. I'm going to go to the phones without delay. Sharla joins us on the line.
Hello.
Sharla, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Good morning. Hi. A lot of my friends are going to index fixed annuities because they are sick of the return on money markets, et cetera. My question is, I don't understand them. Are they good? Are they bad? If you don't need income and you really don't anticipate needing additional income into the future, but it's always possible, are index fixed incomes good or bad?
Ooh, it is a very deep question. And I've got a I like that you're asking. You said something earlier in your comment about where that money's coming from. My friends are sick of, and I thought you were going to say sick of the cyclicality of the stock market, but you said my friends are sick of money market getting me nothing.
Yes.
And that's probably closer to what an index annuity is going to be, is a more money market like return for investors. And the money market like return, but the problem here that I, the reason I don't like index annuities is that they're positioned in a way that I think is very misleading. They're positioned in the context of, hey, I can put my money to work and I can get a stock, part of the stock market return, and I have no risk on the downside, right?
Right.
I mean, how many times have we heard those commercials?
Mm-hmm.
We've heard them everywhere. You hear them on CNBC, you hear them on the radio, you hear them all over the place. And that's the pitch of an index annuity company. It's very simply, hey, get part of the market upside, participate in the market. Okay. Participate in the market and then have no downside. That sounds amazing to me. That sounds
and
like...
And we'll give you a huge bonus if you sign up right now.
Right. Now, there's obviously some... There's some handcuffs or there's some gotchas in all of that. The number one reason I don't love these, well, there's a lot of reasons I don't love these. Number one reason is that there is this, what I believe is a delusional return formula when it comes to how much money you make in these. It's delusional and it's very misleading. So you get sold this product, this magic elixir of a product that says, hey, you get part of the S&P 500. Well, that sounds pretty good. You get part of the NASDAQ. That sounds great. And no downside. But how much of it do you really get? What they're doing here is, remember, these are not investment products. So they're not, the money actually gets invested in the annuity. It doesn't get invested in the S&P or the NASDAQ. So it's tied to that, but it could be tied to anything arbitrarily. when I used to talk about index annuities, I used to talk about, hey, it could be tied to the number. We'll give you 1 percentage point upside for every car that goes through the toll on 400. Well, that sounds great because there are a lot of cars that go through that toll every Sunday. But we're going to cap it at one. Well, okay, or two. I'm going to cap it at two. So you get this picture in your head, wow, that's a lot of cars. That could be a lot of upside. But wait a minute, if you cap it at two, then who cares? Hey, I'm going to give you a 1% return for every lemon you see on that tree. Well, there are a lot of lemons on that tree. That means I could get 50% upside, but we're going to cap it at two lemons. Okay. Yeah. So you get this misleading, bountiful picture of, wow, this great return upside. But when you cap something at 0.25% per month for the whole year or 2% on the year, then it really is a very misleading way to say, hey, we'll give you the upside. It's bogus, in my opinion. Now, some people still love these because I think if you look at it in the context of how you're looking at it is, well, if money's going to sit there for the next decade, and a lot of these have 7, 8, 9, 10-year handcuffs that you're paying for, by the way, you're paying to have handcuffs on your own money. It's like paying somebody to put you in jail because you're worried about breaking your arm. Well, put me in jail for the next 10 years so I don't hurt myself. And that's part of how these things operate. Is they're, you give them this money and then you can't take it out or unless you're penalized in a very large way for the first decade. And I don't like that either. So you get these handcuffs. You get what I think is a misleading formula or a delusional formula to make money on the upside. And then what I think is even more chilling is that a lot of these annuity companies, because they're not overly regulated, they can change the rules on you. They could just change the rules. If they don't like what's happening 10 years in, 5 years in, they can change the rules. I don't like that.
Wow.
And the other thought here that really gets me is that when you're putting, usually you see people put big chunks of money in these things. Well, I've got 50 grand sitting around doing nothing. I'm just going to buy an index annuity with it, or $100,000, $200,000, $500,000 in an annuity. Well, that's kind of like buying one bond, because remember, what's the guarantee? The guarantees come from a company. So it's not a guarantee from the FDIC. It's not a government bond. It's not like buying a treasury bond. You're putting money into a product that is guaranteed by a company. Well, we know what happens if companies don't do well, they go out of business.
Right.
Right? So if you put 100 grand in an annuity, it's kind of like putting 100 grand into one bond. If I had $100,000, I wouldn't buy one bond with it. So there are a lot of things to think about under the surface when it comes to these annuities that seem to promise the world with no downside. Well, of course there's downside. Downside is can't get you, they're not very liquid. You're tied up in them for a long period of time. The return formulas are not nearly what people would think. But if you compare them to a really low rate of return product, like buying a treasury ladder, a treasury bond ladder, might only get 2% a year or 2.25% a year, then that's more like what these will do over time. They're not going to participate in any large degree the S&P 500. You're not going to buy one of these annuities and the S&P gets 10% a year over the next 10 years and you're going to get 8. That's not going to happen.
So you might get argument that CDs are just as good, just as well. They're FDIC insured. My husband's argument is valid.
Your husband, if he's arguing for a bond ladder of treasury bonds or CDs, then I think that you end up doing about the same. And in the case of doing it that way, and maybe today, over the next year or two, before, as rates are really low, maybe you don't do as well in a CD because you're only going to get 1 or 1.25 or 1.5. And maybe you get a little more than that out of one of these index annuities. But we got to remember, over the course of the next 5 and 10 years, if rates are going up, then over the next 10 years, my bonds in the future should be paying me more. So maybe right. I get more return out of them in a few more years from now. It doesn't look like that today, but remember, we usually think in terms of a year or two or three, but 5 years from now, 10-year treasury could be back at 4 or 5%. Who knows?
Right.
And that's okay. These products, these index annuities, they may very well have a place for some people. And I'm not saying that they're the worst thing on the planet. I'm just saying that in my opinion, there are other options that give you more options and don't lock you up in what I think typically is doesn't. I think that there's more sizzle in these products than there is steak. And we're going to keep going here with the phones. 404-872-0750. We're going to go to, I think, James Lewis tells me where we're going. Line one, Rob, who joins us from Atlanta. Rob, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I was calling. My mom is about 73, 74, and she has some cash, about $150K. And we're trying to figure out where to put it. She probably needs potentially to pull 5 to 10% of it a year out, and I didn't know if there was a better choice than the savings account that pays absolutely nothing.
Okay, so you are what are her expenses right now? So you need this extra 10 per year just to kind of meet expenses on top of the social. She gets Social Security right now, right, Rob?
She gets Social Security, and she gets she's got an annuity of some sort that was done years ago that she gets, or she's taking her mandatory
distribution.
Distribution out of it, and she's been pulling about 10 or 15 a year out of that. And
it's anywhere she needs about 6 to about 10% a year, which is not insignificant, of course. And that's, I guess, the challenge here is that if you're pulling close to 10% a year out, there's certainly the risk of running out of money. So right. that there's never an easy solution here for that. If she has an annuity today, does she already have a variable annuity that she bought a long time ago?
Yeah, she's already got it, and I think it's been running about 3%.
Does it have one of those, they call them GRIBs, Guaranteed Retirement Income Benefits. Does it have one of those on it?
I'm not sure. I know she's got another year or two before she could actually pull all the money out. She's restricted on how, you know, she can only pull 10% out.
Okay. Well, you're right. So this is one of these challenging positions. I think that you can make the best of this and say you can have an overall income type portfolio that generates 4 to 5% a year. It doesn't mean it's going to keep up with the full 10% rate of withdrawal. So
right.
she's probably a great candidate for utility type companies that are paying 4 to 5% with maybe a little bit of appreciation upside. It's not going to necessarily last forever if the withdrawal rate is that high. But I think at least can maximize the money that you guys need or have today. And this is obviously a longer conversation, so I'm happy to talk this further with you, talk about this further, Rob. Go to my website, wesmoss.com. You can email me. There's a contact button on the left-hand side to come straight to me, James Lewis, the Money Matters team, and we'll get back to you 24 to 48 hours, or if it's more complicated, we're happy to sit down in the office and go over that. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, Certified Financial Planner, right here, 95.5 at AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from Certified Financial Planner, Wes Moss.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, 404-872-0750, live here this Sunday morning, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Today, we're getting 2 hours of Money Matters in because we don't have Bulldog Brunch today, bye week. But that's exciting for us because we like being here on Sunday mornings. We love answering your questions, your calls. That's the fun part about Money Matters, and it's been a lively morning. I've got a lot to still get to. I think we can have a quick call with Chris, who joins us on the line from Cumming. Chris, good morning. How can we help?
Hey, this is, am I on the line?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a teacher, and I've been working in Georgia for a little over 10 years, but I had worked in North Carolina prior to this for about 13. So I have the opportunity to buy back retirement years in the Georgia TRS, the retirement system they have here. Currently, I have the money that I had in North Carolina. I had rolled it over into a 403B, I guess, fixed annuity or plan, and I'm allowed to roll that over into the retirement. Now, what that allows me to do is to retire after, you know, put have a total of 30 years in Georgia when I'm 56.
Chris, do you know how much it's going to cost you to do the, get the 13 years?
Yes, I do. It ranges on whatever, it depends on the years, but basically anywhere between $10,000 and about $12,000 a year.
You know, that I can just tell you, and I, without knowing the exact numbers, I can just tell you from experience, Chris, dealing with a lot of teachers over many years in Georgia, getting those, buying back those years is usually a pretty darn good option.
Right.
Because the TRS, the payments you get out of TRS, the monthly income from TRS is very stable. It's and it is something that is a, it's a very, coming from a very stable system too. And
right.
And really, I can tell you on the surface, at least 10 to 12 grand a year to get those years back is probably very much worth it. So again, we've got to look at the exact numbers, but from my experience, it's usually a good deal to buy those years back. We're listening to Money Matters live here on WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Live here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Today, 9 to 11. So we have some money matters left here. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to the phones in just a minute, but I want to get through this Social Security conversation that I had with a family this week that is, I think, really applies to so many of you listening today. And I've had this conversation in one form or another over and over again. And that's why I think it'll, this is something you, for you to think about, whether you're 55 today and social's a little ways away, or you're coming up on your 66th birthday. So it's always about strategizing how you can get the most out of Social Security. And the conversation I had this week was with a couple, 66 and 64. I've worked with them for the better part of a decade, and now it's time for them to make the call. Hey, do we start taking Social Security right now or not? And it, of course, all this relates back to whether you have other income sources. So if you have pensions, it might change the conversation. If you have multiple pensions, it's going to change the conversation. What are your assets and your investments? What kind of steady income does that produce? All that weighs into the conversation. But in this particular discussion, it made a ton of sense for the husband. We're going to call the husband Pete and the wife Debbie, to keep them anonymous, to go ahead and it made sense for Pete to go ahead and take the Social Security. Debbie's a year and a half younger, she's still working, so it's a no-brainer for her to wait and wait until she's at least 66 and then either take hers or half of what Pete's is at 66. But we also talked about waiting for Pete. So instead of 66, like he can go ahead and do today, what about waiting until 67 or 68 or waiting all the way to 70? Well, guess what? That works really well for them too. As long as Pete lives until he's about 82, which is kind of the break even on this, then he's actually even better off from 82 for the rest of his life. And Pete expects to live a very long time. And he doesn't really need the Social Security income today. So, but just like you and me, he didn't want to leave any money on the table. So what does he do? Because now here we're in the middle of this conversation and effectively 66 works, meaning it's a good idea to go ahead and take it today. It's a great idea. But then also taking and waiting until 70, that works too. So what's the tiebreaker? Well, the answer comes down to one word, and that word is options. Options, options, options. So that was the tiebreaker, and that tipped the scales in favor of Pete waiting. So he's going to wait because if he does what's called this file and suspend, meaning that he files for security but doesn't take it, then Debbie can take 50% of what his age 66 amount is when she gets to be 66. And she can now let her own benefit accrue while she's getting half of his and then take her own higher benefit all the way at age 70. But there's another really important option that gets overlooked very often, and this is something that was kind of the eureka moment for Pete as we talked this through. If at any time between 66 and 70, any month or any year, he can go back to Social Security and say, hey, you know what? I want to take my money back that I didn't take. I want a lump sum for the period of time that I file and suspend it. I want that suspended money back. Now, he can't have his cake and eat it too. He can't get a per month benefit increase and also get the lump sum. So you can't get both. But he can go back and say, hey, I've changed my mind. I want to get the lump sum. But the key is that there's this bank of money sitting there accruing for you if you decide later, age 67, 68, all the way to 70, to go back and say, you know what? Rather than getting the monthly increase every month starting at 70, I want to just go ahead and take the lump sum. I want to take it back. So the other thought here is that you might, if you wait and you wait into the future, you might know a little bit more about your own financial situation when you're 69 versus at 66 looking towards 69. You've got more real-time data. So it could work for you to go ahead and take a lump sum or not. So this is the optionality about waiting in Social Security. That, I think, tips the scale towards the file and suspend as a good option. But again, in so many of these scenarios, you can make a great case for doing it in any which way. It's just a matter of your unique DNA for your own financial picture. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. We're going to the phones here. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to Lisa, who joins us. Sounds like Lisa's on the coast.
Hello?
You are on the line, Lisa. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yes, I have a question. I have about $93,000 in a USAA managed portfolio, and I don't feel like it's performing well, and I would like to move it to Vanguard. And I'm also getting about $100,000, a little more than that this week, from the rest of an inheritance. And I was wondering if you had recommendations for Vanguard mutual funds.
Well, a couple of thoughts here. First of all, what is not good about the managed account today at USAA?
Okay. I think it was 2% net of fees. I feel like I could do better at Vanguard and it doesn't cost as much. Or do you not think that's a good idea to move it over?
Well, I think that I'm a huge fan of Vanguard, and I absolutely believe that if you're going to be an investor that's doing it on your own and you're comfortable with the decisions you're making, you don't need to talk to somebody about your overall picture and how the investments necessarily relate back to what you're trying to accomplish, then Vanguard is a really good option because it's extraordinarily low priced.
Mm-hmm.
And those funds they do really well. There's a lot of 4 and 5 star funds at Vanguard because guess what? If you're not paying a 1 or 2% management fee in a fund, it's pretty good over time. There's not a big hurdle for that fund to do well. So yeah. Yes, I'm a big believer in utilizing these Vanguard funds. If you're not getting any sort of advice or relationship out of this other investment portfolio, then it might not be worth it. Number one. Number two, though, remember that here we are in a year where the S&P is up less than 1%. The Dow's down 1% on the year. Mm-hmm. So if you have an equity-based portfolio, and remember, international hasn't done all that well. Small and mid-cap hasn't done all that well. Mm-hmm. A lot of areas, even in diversified portfolio, have not had a great year to date in 2015. So right. Just because you have a fund that isn't doing all that well doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad fund. It just means that with the environment that we're in isn't all that great. If you were in a Vanguard fund this year and tracking the index, well, guess what? You'd probably be down.
Right.
Because the market itself is down. So just again, I'm a big believer in utilizing Vanguard. We'll talk about a couple of funds I think to make some sense, but also remember that just because you're not having a good investment year, it isn't necessarily the fault of XYZ mutual fund, because the backdrop that we're in today, it's been a tough year.
I understand, and I've taken that into consideration. But even before the market was bad, before this, you know, the last few months, I think the year before, my total net of fees was, if I remember correctly, 2.96, which I expected it to be better than that. And I thought, you know, I think I could do better in Vanguard, but you know, that's why I'm calling you, because I'm not sure.
Well, good. So a couple of thoughts here. So I'm a big believer in the Vanguard Target Funds. I think many of those make a lot of sense because they give you instant diversification, multiple funds, still extremely low priced.
Okay.
But they also slowly migrate to become more conservative over time. And I like that piece of it, too. So you don't get overly caught up in a full scale 100% stock portfolio, and you hit retirement, we go through a bear market and you're down 30%. You don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want some balance in your life.
Okay.
That leads me to looking at also another fund, just the good old Vanguard Balanced Index Fund. The Vanguard Balanced Fund tries to have a target. It's a target allocation of around 60% in stocks.
Okay.
Lisa, and 40% in the fixed income side, and there's always a little bit in the short-term reserve or cash section. Super inexpensive, so it's less than a tenth of a percent, so it's 0.09% per year. Those are the Admiral shares, and this is the fund I'm talking about is VBIAX.
VBIAX?
Yes, VBIAX, okay. Vanguard Balanced Index Fund. And that, again, gives you automatically it gives you a balance of the major buckets of the world, meaning that we've got the growth bucket, the income bucket, and then I also talk about what I call the alternative income bucket. But inside of that fund, you're going to get some big dividend-paying names, Johnson & Johnson, General Electric, Berkshire Hathaway, AT&T, Apple, Google, Microsoft. So you have some companies that pay a little bit of a dividend, some that are more growth-oriented, like Google.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the balance there is really, really important.
Okay.
So you can do that in a Vanguard balance. You can also do it in a target fund. So you can look at Vanguard Target 2025 or Target 2020. Now, how old are you, Lisa?
I'm 63. I just turned 63.
And are you going to start taking an income from this yet? Or are you still going to wait?
No, I'm collecting Social Security. My husband's several years younger than me, so he's still working. I don't anticipate needing it for a while.
All right, so you don't need the income. And then I guess the other question is, how comfortable are you with fluctuation? If you have $200,000 that turns into $180,000, do you get nervous about that?
Yeah, I discovered in the last few months I'm not comfortable with fluctuation. I would say less than moderate risk is probably best for me.
Oh, okay. So I would say that at the most aggressive, then you're looking at something like Vanguard, the balance fund, because again, that's 60% of the stocks. Now they're high quality companies. They're not going anywhere in our lifetime, and that you have to understand as well. So you can't just own the fund, but you have to understand the components inside the fund so that you're comfortable with them.
Okay.
But also know that again, even though it's a, sometimes Vanguard gets this magical brand that because it's Vanguard, it's somehow safer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you already know this, but I think it's an important point that just because you have a Vanguard fund doesn't mean it's the quan of investing. It's still going to, if it's a Vanguard 500 fund, it's going to do, the S&P goes down 35%. Well, so will Vanguard 500.
Right.
There's no magic to it. It's just really good low-cost fundamental investing. Now, so I would look at, for your risk tolerance, from what you're telling me on this very short phone call, be careful going beyond the risk of anything beyond about 60% in equities, because you're going to get a lot of fluctuation there.
Okay. All right. Do you think that the total stock market index fund could also be a good option, or do you think the one that you just recommended is really better?
Wait a minute, Lisa, that's a 100% stock fund. The total market index is all equities.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So just be careful. Again, remember what's underneath the hood. So you can go to Morningstar and look up each one of these Vanguard funds and see what's inside of them. Or again, Vanguard's great about they're very transparent on their own site. You go to Vanguard.com, you punch in VBIAX, and you go to the portfolio and management tab. It'll show you what's inside that fund, and that's the key. And it'll give you all the ratios about stocks versus bonds versus cash, and then I'll show you what kind of stocks. Are they large or mid or small or international, U.S.? So just make sure you understand what's inside it inside the cake before you take a bite. You are listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. My website, WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. There's a contact button on the left-hand side. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Or you can just email me, radio@yourwealth.com. Happy to sit through and talk through your particular situation as it gets more and more complicated. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
We're going to have to do aging gracefully and how to change the way you feel about aging next week. We just don't have enough time today. To close out what we talked about with Warren Buffett, this wonderful question about what do you do if you're going into a career where you're not going to make as much money? Mr. Buffett, how do you suggest we keep up? Well, he comes back to this group and says, look, it doesn't matter. In America, as long as you make a good living, you're not going to live that differently than Warren Buffett himself. So go with what you love, obviously, versus just trying to make a bunch of money. The other thing about these Buffett millionaires, and there's a whole other article about Buffett millionaires and billionaires that I think people get, you read this and you say, hey, this guy from Dallas bought 95 shares of Berkshire back in 95. Today, it's worth $19 million. You look at that and you say, you know, I just missed the boat on that. I didn't know about Buffett back in 1987 when it went public, and I missed the boat. I wasn't in Omaha at the time. And there's this thought of, hey, I didn't hit the Buffett lottery. But what's interesting is if you compare Berkshire from 95 until today to the S&P 500, the numbers aren't that different. So that we have this thought that, hey, we missed the boat, and we missed this mini lotto. But there's a mini lottery that's kind of right in front of our faces on a daily basis. And it's right around every corner. And it's called just being an investor. Buffett shows us that so much can be created in just one lifetime, just a few decades, really. So if you're 95 and you're listening, you say, Wes, I don't have two or three decades, and that's fine. But if you're 60, you sure do. And you're 30, you have a half a century to participate. So you haven't missed it yet. There's still plenty of time. And it's called just being an investor in America and around the world today, more globally than ever. So enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, we didn't get to your call today, email me radio@yourwealth.com or go to my website, Wes Moss, Wes, WESMOSS, WesMoss.com or Facebook, Wes Moss Money Matters. Like us and you'll continue to get our updates. Enjoy the rest of this Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in right here for Money Matters.